Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion Show. My name's Paul Garrigan and I look after the mindfulness program here at Hope.
And I'm Luke. I'm one of the counsellors here at Hope and I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Very welcome. So the topic you suggested that we talk about is this addiction to chaos. Now that sounds a bit to me like a punk band or something. What do you mean by addiction to chaos?
It's something that's been coming up quite a lot lately, having always been there actually, but now I'm quite aware of it. The addiction to chaos, as I've seen it printed and in a few other places, is actually an addiction to adrenaline. And chaos gives us that fight or flight response, that we're always in movement, and it gives us that nice adrenal response, and it can become quite addictive.
But this was in any way related to that kind of derogatory term, you know, like he or she's a bit of a drama queen?
It very much plays into that. People that are drama queens often get an addiction or a thrill out of that drama at an early age. It can perhaps bring attention to them, or it can be a way that they get control in a situation, and then that can go on for quite some time, and that busy space can then become their normal.
And what would you say are the symptoms of this addiction to chaos?
Firstly, it could be an inability to be calm, an inability to be still and at peace with oneself. It can be like a whirlwind of drama that follows them wherever they go. Things always breaking, things always going wrong, things always not working out, always having something to complain about.
I remember thinking years ago that, you know, basically my life, the quality of my life basically depended on this story I told myself, a before and after story. So I remember for me, you know, like before when I was young, you know, my life was really good. Then something happened. And after like this, the afterwards, like, was my parents splitting up. And afterwards, my life was about getting, you know, worse and worse and worse, or just generally a bad sort of thing. Could that be related to what you're talking about? This idea that our life is kind of inherently always going to end up badly after, you know.
By all means, yes. It becomes a bit of an identity. It becomes the majority of the time of someone who is addicted to chaos. It becomes their identity. So when calm does actually happen, they can feel lost and feel out of place and are then just looking for that next thing to go wrong, or perhaps even creating that next thing to go wrong.
Yeah, I definitely recognize that feeling. Oh, it's not going to last. Even if things are good, it's not going to last.
I have heard that. I've heard of that sort of dull ache of like, uh-oh, when's the next thing going to go wrong?
Yeah, and I think there can actually be an almost a fear of things going well. You start to think, you know, oh, I'm going to really pay for this. I remember thinking that way. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, you know, afraid of enjoying the peaceful times, because it's like, you know, you're basically tempting life to kick you in the teeth.
Mm-hmm. There's that safety in discomfort, because at least it is stable or the same. And then, yeah, the uncomfortable space is that quiet space, yeah.
So in your experience and what you've seen, would you say all people with addiction problems are addicted to chaos?
I think on some level, yes. They definitely go hand in hand. And when addiction gets out of control to the point of a rock bottom or a big life change, certainly drama and chaos certainly go hand in hand to get it to that point.
And, I mean, which would you say comes first, the addiction or the chaos?
The chicken or the egg debate. That is unknown, but certainly when the two are combined, they both become stronger. So the need for drama or the need for chaos mixed with addiction, they both become stronger as a result.
And what is the relationship between, because I mean, we could sort of, you know, especially if I use words like sort of drama queen, it can sort of seem like we're you know worrying too much about something or exaggerating something. But in a lot of cases, I mean, the chaos is very real, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, and I think that's how it gets to that point. We have that internal chaos, and eventually the world around us starts to match it. Things breaking down, people not paying on time. And so we have that real world evidence. And then the reaction to that becomes this feedback loop that gets louder and louder and louder.
So it could almost be, would you say it's almost a sort of case of self-sabotage?
Yeah, self-sabotage perhaps is part of that, or the self-fulfilling prophecy, as we say.
So just explain that again, the self-fulfilling prophecy.
So in the terms of what you said earlier, people worrying about when something going to go wrong, and so that gets given energy, when is something going to go wrong, and then something does go wrong, and it becomes quite dramatic. And so the self-fulfilling prophecy is evidence of what we were worrying about, but is it self-created or is it partially self-created? Then I would say yes.
So basically, like believing that things are going to go bad changes your behavior in such a way that that makes it go bad.
Indeed, yes, yes.
So, where does this all come from?
Well, it's part of humanity. We have a system that keeps us safe, the fight or flight response. And it's part of our adrenal system and our mechanism that we've had ever since our ancestors were living in the jungle. We needed this to keep us safe from predators. But in this modern world we live in, we don't have those physical threats as such. But we have society-based threats, judgment-based threats, concerns of what other people think. And so we have this ability where if we entertain a fear or a worry, our body responds with an adrenaline response. And as time goes on, that self-fulfilling prophecy manifests into a life of chaos and drama.
And, you know, is this stuff going to fall away when the addiction ends?
It could do, but it also is a very big threat. And that's why here at Hope we like to make holistic changes, because it's not simply about stopping the substance or the alcohol. What we find is if we don't address our own need for drama and what creates that, then at the next hurdle, whether being sober or not, that dramatic response can come back.
And what can people do, like, so, you know, constructively, if they feel that this is a problem in their life, what can they actually do to kind of start solving it? Is it for therapy, or is there a 12-step addiction to chaos group? I mean, what can people actually start to do?
Well, that's why we use the CBT methods that we use. It gives you a chance to perhaps stop in the moment of chaos, but it certainly gives you the ability to look back, and you can look back over the previous week and look at all of those peaks of drama or those peaks of chaos and use your wise mind to evaluate, was it rational or was it perhaps a little irrational? And begin to give consciousness to those points. And it's only when we actually look back and catch those points that we can evaluate. Because when we're in this motion of continuous drama, it's always looking forward to that next dramatic thing. So that's why we stop. And another reason why we use mindfulness, to create that space so we can clearly evaluate. Yeah.
Can you think of any resources or anything you'd like to recommend in regards to this addiction to chaos, Luke?
There's a lot of material online. It's a subject that's been documented in many, many different places.
And what would people look for? What sort of keywords would they use? Addiction to chaos, or
Googling the need for drama or addiction to chaos will produce many videos, many different examples.
And is there stuff like specifically related to addiction there?
Generally, it is related to addiction or emotional disorder or emotional...
Because that's the question. I mean, can people have this without being addicted? I mean, is this...
Most definitely. There is a point that I wanted to bring up, actually, and that point is I really think that Facebook and social media and these constant alerts are also playing a big role in this need for drama. I think it's evolved that way to give us this 24-hour example of news and people like you and people are commenting on you, and I think it's playing on that. So substance or no substance, the mechanism for addiction is there, yes.
One of the sort of the ideas that come from Buddhism, and I think it fits in quite well with this, is these idea of mental formations. So for me, for a long time, I carried around this story because I had, like, you know, multiple relapses over many years, and I had this story in my head that basically I was this failure, and I was always going to keep on failing, and that, yeah, maybe I would have, you know, maybe I would be able to stop for a year or two, like, but I'd be sort of swimming against the tide. Eventually, I'd sort of go back to this kind of, you know, the way I truly was. And sort of one of the things that helped me, this, you know, we call it the five aggregates, is I started to see that there was no solid bad boy in me, or you know person who was going to mess up, that there was something unreal about that, and all it really was these habits. And it sounds like, you know, so this addiction, it's just addiction to chaos. It's basically these habits we've picked up that have sort of gained energy.
Yeah, most definitely. And as I was saying, it's this natural response that the body has. So the need for drama and the need for chaos, they're only small parts of us. But when activated, they get a lot of our attention, or all of our attention, because it's putting your body into the mode that it thinks that it's saving itself or protecting itself from danger. But it's not a real danger in this modern world, as I said, that we live in. And so actually catching ourselves in these moments gives us more awareness of the rest of ourselves, the whole self, and not just that dramatic part.
Well, that's been really interesting, Luke. Anything more you wanted to say?
One thing that was popping into my mind was the reason why this subject has come up and I've really begun working on it is I think the need for drama has been at the catalyst, perhaps, for a lot of the relapses that I've heard of. And it can really play a role in recreating that chaos to bring about a relapse. So it's certainly something that needs to be made aware and worked upon and kept in check. It's very serious. So, yeah, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about this, and I'd love to hear any feedback that any of the listeners have.
Thanks, Luke. We'll finish it there.